5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You're listening to the Drex Radio Show. Drex Radio Show. On the next generation of KGO 810.
There are millions of fathers all across the country who just want to show you how to change a tire or locate a stud. This Father's Day, won't you please help your dad? For just pennies a day, you can keep his toolbox filled with 8D finishing nails or a can of WD-40. And every month, we'll send you a picture of your dad working in the garage, avoiding you and your mom. Because you're the reason he no longer follows his dreams. He really wanted to be a roadie for Bon Jovi. Instead, he's teaching you how to put up shelves. So give back. Let him drink his beers in the garage alone. And don't tell him you love him. He knows. He's just not good at that kind of fluffy talk crap. Won't you please support your dad? You'll be glad you did.
Oh, and I have, just for a buddy of mine, Ryan, and note to your wife, please don't count his drinks. Don't be a drink counter. Oh, are we arguing about this? No drink counting. Drink counting is the worst. Dads hate drink counting. No drink counting allowed.
Everyone should hate drink counting. That's
drink counting sucks.
Come on. Dude. It's Father's Day.
My buddy, he has two kids, but mom is constantly drink counting. So he has to do stupid things. He cheats. So he has to take like the beer can.
Of course he does.
And he puts vodka in it. I mean, that's really bad that when you have to put up with that kind of drink counting. I'm just saying. Top things that dad wants for Father's Day. By the way, it's only 4 days away. I mean, there's been so much horrible news this week that I hope everybody remembers dad. Father's Day only 4 days away. Top things he wants, a trip. I don't know to where. I doubt it. Tickets to a sporting event. Well, we'll get to the Warriors Cavaliers. Power tools, an iPad, a watch, beer.
Yes.
And no drink counting and barbecue gear. The things he doesn't want are a gym membership.
Oh.
Underwear, socks, and of course, ties.
It's not Father's Day without a really terrible tie. Come on.
I know. That's so stereotypical. The sock thing, if I were a dad, I'd still be cool with socks because I constantly screw, because I have to do my own laundry. I'm the guy who always has the stray sock. Just drives me insane.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I just throw them out. You know,
where does the stray sock go? I often wonder that.
You know what? There's an algorithm for that. I actually have a stupid story on where does the sock go. I can scientifically answer that question for you, Brian.
Interesting.
Later this hour.
Tease it for later. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the guy who is making major bank off the Warriors and the Cavs. So four floor seats on Monday night's game 5 between the Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors sold on the Warriors ticket resale website for $93,000. The dude who first purchased them paid $34,000 for them.
Whoa.
He made a $59,000 profit.
You're really tempting fate, though, if you buy tickets that
high. I know, right?
And expect to go even higher.
No, so he paid $34,000, okay. And he sold them for $93,000. That's $59,000 profit. To put that in perspective, that amount of money for it could buy you a brand new 2016 Mercedes-Benz S-Class sedan, $95,000. It cost roughly the same for 1 year of tuition, including room and board to Harvard or Stanford.
Oh, my goodness.
And 15,500 McDonald's Big Mac meals. I'll take the Mercedes.
You could buy three big deal weddings for that much.
You got to wonder.
60 now, grand?
Do you be honest with this? Do you tell the IRS that you made $59,000 profit?
I would.
Because they won 20 grand of that.
I would, IRS. I'm completely honest, but I know some people that might not be, and I'll tell you what, I'll turn them in.
Okay, you turn them in, and then I'll give you a pair of Steph Curry shoes. They're taking so much heat. I know. It's just bad. I feel bad. Look, they do look like dad shoes.
Or something that would be worn in nursing homes. really bad.
You're really being nasty. Okay, so, of course, everybody's letting him have it, these new Under Armour shoes. He says they're fire. I don't know. I think they belong in the fire. But I have to say, you know, I love Steph, and I love the Under Armour shoes that he wears on the court. So when I heard he was putting out the shoes, mm-hmm. I thought that they were the ones that he wears on the court.
Oh, yeah.
Because those are incredible. But I want those.
Yeah. These the look nothing ones? Like that.
No, these are like white mom shoes almost. Anyway, so you're putting this up to the fate of light of late night people. And who do we have? Kimmel?
Jimmy Kimmel, yeah.
Kimmel.
The league MVP, Steph Curry, has been getting a lot of attention today for his new signature sneaker. Under Armour on Wednesday released exclusive photos of the new Curry 2 Low. This is it. It is a great pair of shoes to own, whether you are a Steph Curry fan or just a middle school lunch lady. See those shoes doing very well with fans in Fort Lauderdale. These shoes are so white, they just endorsed Donald Trump for president. I really don't understand this. Couldn't Steph have saved himself a lot of trouble by just releasing this old pair of Skechers? They're almost exactly the same. They already have his initial on them.
Yes,
the new shoes are being called dad shoes, and I guess that's an insult. But you know what? Steph Curry's a dad. I'm a dad. So are most NBA players, some of them many times over. Maybe it's time we embrace a shoe made specifically for dads.
Style.
I would
quality,
roll with that. Yeah.
Performance. Introducing the new Curry 2 Low. The perfect shoe for cleaning the gutter. Mowing the lawn. Walking around the neighborhood at a moderate speed and throwing your back out.
Helen.
Curry 2 Low for the dad on the go.
Available at Walgreens.
Yeah, you should see. Did you see the video of that? Because the Skechers actually look better because they have an S on for Skecher.
Yeah.
You would think Steph, right? I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah, I would roll with that. I don't know.
Poor Steph.
Okay, so tomorrow night we have game six, and we'll see. We should go online and see if anybody's throwing tickets out there for $93,000.
Well, game six is in Cleveland, so my guess is the tickets would be a little bit less. But
people, they want to see LeBron.
Yeah, I definitely think so. It'll be the last game the Cavaliers play in Cleveland all year, but I just think the market here in the Bay Area is going to be
hopefully
so
it's going to be the last game, period.
Yeah.
Yeah, should be the last game, period. Speaking of the finals, games 3 and 4 were number 1 and 2, respectively, in the ratings this past week. 16.5 million people viewing.
Wow.
All right. One of the things while we're talking about sports, just to keep things light here, I wanted to talk about this. The Denver Broncos, they just got their Super Bowl rings, and the defensive coordinator, Wade Phillips, needs a new one because they printed the wrong name on his.
Uh-oh.
Yes. Instead of putting Wade Phillips on there, they put Wade Peters on there.
Oh.
Yeah.
Somebody's getting fired over
that one. I know, right?
Yeah. He's kind of an important guy.
Yes, I would think so. And then the NFL is adding a rule for the coin tosses. The NFL is adding a rule for coin flips this season. The new rule says if the coin does not turn over in the air or is compromised in any way, the ref must toss it again. So it has to flip at least once, and it can't hit anything on the way down. So remember when it was botched in the overtime Packers-Cardinals game? Take a listen.
Steelers heads, the T side is tails. Green Bay, visiting team, is sure choice. Tails is the call.
We want the ball.
Yeah,
we want
the ball. No, it didn't flip. It didn't flip. It didn't flip. It didn't flip.
I can't mess.
I'm going to flip.
Yeah,
oh,
call.
Please. You can't make any of this
it
shot.
It is heads. So what the ball? Which way you want to kick? Okay,
so wait a second. It didn't flip.
The coin went up and didn't flip, and so they had to re-flip it.
We have a camera on the coin. And you heard what the guy said. It didn't flip, and it didn't flip.
I've seen pizzas flip more than that.
That's you know who awesome. Flipped were the fans.
Yeah, no, it was crazy. It was crazy. And you know what's even crazier? Seinfeld actually did a bit about this in the 90s. George and Jerry were fighting about the, flipping the coin.
All right, now you call it in the air.
Right.
No catching.
Right.
No. All right, flip it.
No interference.
Heads. Tails.
No, it hit the table. It hit the table.
So what? Interference. You can't count that.
See?
Are you crazy? The coin cannot touch anything. It affects it.
You didn't call no interference.
You don't have to call that. That's a rule.
Costanza's right. No interference. Come on. And no counting beers. Don't be a beer counter. All right, we're done.
Just
right.
So you know, tickets, $35,000 is the upper echelon of how much tickets are in Cleveland for game six.
Two tickets or four?
Just a single ticket.
A single ticket?
For game six.
One ticket.
One ticket, $35,000. That's the upper price range. They have some selling for as little as $250.
$250?
Yeah.
But you can get one ticket courtside, I'm sure, for
$35,000. $250 to $35,000 is the range.
That's why God gave us HDTV. You know what I'm saying? All right, let's take a break. We'll be back. When we come back, we're going to talk about your kid. Could he be or she be addicted to winning? Like
winning.
That guy. We shall discuss on the way.
The next generation of KGO 810. Now, back to the Drex Radio Show. Drex Radio Show.
And away we go on the Drex Radio Show, live and local in the Bay and around the world at KGORadio.com. And remember the National Spelling Bee this time? Remember the last 2 years they said there was not going to be a tie for the third year in a row?
Feldenkrais.
Feldenkrais. Can I have the definition?
Feldenkrais doesn't really have a definition. It is used for a system of aided body movements intended to increase body awareness and ease tension. So I guess that's its definition. That's what it's used for. It's a trademark.
Can I have the language of origin?
It's from a trademark, Feldenkrais.
Feldenkrais. F-E-L-D-E-N-K-R-A-I-S. Feldenkrais.
That's correct.
And congratulations, Nihar, you're a winner. Now, wait a second, there's one more contestant.
Gesellschaft.
Gesellschaft, may I have the definition?
A rationally developed mechanistic type of social relationship characterized by impersonally contracted associations between persons.
Gesellschaft, is this from a German word?
Yes, it is.
I love this.
Gesellschaft. G E S E L L S C H A F T. Gesellschaft.
That is correct.
And that's Charlie. But guess what? It's a tie. They both win because it tied again. And that brings me to my guest, Joan Bauer. Hi, Joan. Thank you for joining me.
Hi, Drex. How are you?
I'm good. What a great way to start this. They swore 2 years in a row now there would not be a tie the following year. And sure enough, there was a tie again this year. Why?
Yeah. I don't know. They're just brilliant, those kids.
I know, but it goes to your whole point about, you know, could your kid be addicted to winning? And you write about this. And it's the whole thing about kids winning, that whole mindset. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. We're seeing so much in the news right now. So much is elevating the scoreboard or elevating the win. And I think the kids are really responding to that quite often in a very negative way. And I think one of the things that parents can do is try to put things in perspective and try to make sure that kids are having fun when they're learning, when they're out there on the field, when they're playing sports, their instrument, whatever it might be. And so I've written a novel called Soar, which really asks a big question: is winning really all that matters?
Well, and, you know, I thought this was a millennium thing that was going on with helicopter parents around 2000, and I know for sure it was happening in the 90s. I was hoping that it went away, apparently, and the spelling bee reminds me, no, it didn't.
Yeah, no, it didn't. I think it's escalated, actually, Drex, and when you see Little League kids at games and parents actually coming to blows and bad calls being booed and hissed from the crowd by parents, we've lost the perspective on why we really want our kids to try to do their best, not necessarily be the best. So it is escalating, but I think that there are things that we can do to begin to pull that back and to put things in perspective.
808-0810. Are you still finding this at the Little League tournaments and at, your kid's high school, or well, now it would probably be Little League or whatever they're playing, that the parents are out of line? And do you believe that everybody should be a winner? 808-0810. And by the way, I think that this does kids a great disservice. Don't you think so, Joan?
Absolutely. That's a great point, Drex, because there is something powerful. I mean, we all want to win, right? I mean, there's the endorphins, and it feels great to be the first one out of the pool and to win the spelling bee and all of that. But there's something powerful that begins to operate, I think, in a life when you've also learned how to lose, and it begins to enlarge you. Good sportsmanship, I think, is one of the greatest things that we can teach our kids, and grit. The whole powerful, powerful notion of grit, which is basically knowing how to bounce back from hard times and to keep going.
Well, and then there's cheating, you know, at all costs. At all costs, we must win, so then therefore we have to cheat.
Yeah, and that's exactly how it is when winning is the most important thing. And when you think about winning at all costs, think about that means. And kids are very black and white thinkers. So that, to them, I think in some way means, well, it's okay for me to step over the line. It's okay for me to trash talk when something doesn't go right, to argue with an umpire, whatever it might be. And the cheating, boy, all of a sudden that becomes a very dangerous, and in some ways it can be a deadly problem. Kids taking steroids, kids doing all kinds of things to win. And you know what I think, Drex? I have come to believe this very strongly. I think the worst thing that can happen to somebody who is cheating and lying is not to get caught.
I agree.
Because I think it's like a muscle. You know, you develop it and you just get stronger and you get better at it.
Well, so then why do some kids think it's okay? I mean, you know, I probably the basics. It starts with mom and dad.
I think you're right. I think it does start with mom and dad, who are elevating a win, and for them to be a winner, beyond what it should be. And I think kids sometimes just want to please their parents.
Yeah, it's a dog-eat-dog world. You know, I mean, yeah. It is. And, of course, youth sport coaches, oh, my God. If you talk to any youth sport coaches, they will just tell the most appalling stories about the parents. Matter of fact, if you are one, call us 808-0810 because I'd love to hear it. So at what point do you start to talk to your kids about being a good sport and making sure that they understand that you can lose and it can suck and, you know, you can have your feelings hurt?
Yeah, that's a great question. In my opinion, I think you can't start too early. You can start with little ones who don't necessarily understand about winning and losing, but you can begin to teach them to share, and sometimes to share when they don't feel like it. And then as they get used to that a little bit, when you're playing games at home, family games, our tendency as parents is just to always let the kid win. Well, you know what? I think sometimes gently to let them lose and how to show them that it's not the end of the world. And I think also in our day-to-day actions as parents, we need to show when we lose that it's okay.
I have
we're
to.
All right.
This is a great story. So when I was a little kid, we used to play Monopoly at the house, and Dad would always win, yeah. and I would cry like a baby, and then he would make fun of me. And I can't say that we've played as adults. I guess I could let him have it back now. But yeah, I mean, you know, so he didn't cheat and he won, but he kind of rubbed it in. So it's funny. I can't say that I'm traumatized about it. It's just something I look back at. So I understood, I don't know, maybe that was a good lesson. Yeah, that you can't always win.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. My dad always wanted to play for money.
Oh, for real money. Yes, put real money in there.
Money.
Oh,
yeah.
I may have done that in my adult life.
Quarter.
Right, yes, exactly, yes. But it's funny that we're talking about that because I just think that now that I think about it, yeah, I mean, he was just being real. All right, let's take some calls. Let's go to Victoria in Lafayette. Hi, Victoria, you're on KGO.
Hi. I'm a high school teacher. I've been teaching for 35 years, and I just wanted to let you know what's going on in the high school classrooms having around this subject and this issue. I have to confiscate watches if they're digital, and I have a special little packet holder thing that I have on a counter in my classroom for the cell phones, because the cheating has gotten so rampant, and it has to do with the parents pushing the kids. These kids are under terrible, terrible stress to compete. It is completely unacceptable in my view, and I try to tell them that, in fact, failure is instructive.
Let me ask
you. We don't learn from our successes, but we absolutely learn from our failures and picking ourselves up from that.
Thank you, Victoria. Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Are you, and I wonder what age you're talking about, and are you referring to smartphones?
I'm referring to smartphones. I just collect them all as a matter of course on test days.
Okay.
And now I've had to add them showing me. I feel like a cop. I have to have them. I'm taking away any watches because kids have been caught cheating using their digital watches. They take pictures of the test.
Oh, my
and
God.
They send it to and, you know, it just looks like their arm is across the desk.
Oh, I have.
Secondly, these are kids who are 16 to 18, high school.
Yeah, and they're probably more tech savvy than all of us. Yes, I can imagine. Yes, and you know, the reason I ask you about the smartphone is because one of our newscasters here has a daughter, and she's 13, and he refuses to give her a smartphone for this reason.
In my opinion, that's a smart choice to not allow her to have a smartphone for many reasons. Kids who are 13 do not have the developmental, their cerebral cortex isn't developed enough to understand, first of all, the consequences of, you know, they think Snapchat, the thing will disappear in 5 seconds. It doesn't. It goes to the cloud. But they aren't able to understand about that. Secondly, as I've said, in my high school, and I've been there 20 years, we've seen a wave in the last year or two of cheating scandals that have to do with the use of technology and digital technology in particular around this cheating. And trying to stay one step ahead of these kids is freaking impossible.
I can imagine. Yes, it's probably a nightmare. Thank you very much for the great call. Joan Bauer is my guest. Her book is called Soar. And it's all about your kids being addicted to winning and this cheating thing, too. And when I come back, I want to talk to you, Joan, about college students who want to eliminate grades below C. And I'm sure the teachers and professors would have something to say about that, too. I actually have a college student here. We'll talk to her about it, too. So don't go away. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10 with a look at traffic. Here's Lee Graham.
Drex on KGOA 10.
Drex talking to you in your ear on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810, live and local in the Bay and around the world at KGORadio.com. And my guest is author John Bauer, or what am I say John? Joan Bauer. The title of her book is Soar, and as in Soar, up in the sky, S-O-A-R. And JoanBauer.com is her website, and we will link it at KGORadio.com. So, Joan, that was a great story that we heard from the high school teacher. I just can't imagine dealing with 16 and 18-year-olds and trying to defeat the technology because they know 10 times more than I would know.
Yeah, I've heard of stories like this, but my goodness, that we are living, we are trying to operate in this ethical vacuum.
And I think when kids just begin to cheat and cheat and cheat and they get away with it and they can be one step ahead of the teachers, they become misshapen to me, Drex, because they've lost the sense of what it really means to work hard at something and to be people that are trusted. That you can trust. And when we begin to lose trust, and I think this is really happening with cheating, when we're beginning to lose trust at so many different levels, boy, it's very hard to operate in a society where you don't trust people.
Well, yeah. And then there are things like even college students. I don't know if you heard this story. This is from Ohio, Oberlin College. It's a small private liberal arts institution in Ohio, but it's pretty eye-opening. So the students complained that because of their activism, they demanded to erase all grades or any grades below C.
Hmm.
They said that activism is getting in the way of their studies and other students in the faculty. And they said they need to have no lower than C's. And I have an intern who goes to San Francisco State. Her name's Amanda. Amanda, what do you think about that?
I think that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. C's get degrees. And you have to work a little for a C. Like, a C is not that hard to get and maintain. But if you don't have a place to fail, then what are you even working for?
That's so great, isn't it, Joan? I mean, C gets degrees. Yeah. Yeah.
It's true, and they really are taking, they're basically saying, we are not going to fail. We refuse. To do that. And we will not take your evaluation on what we're doing. And that, boy, I'll tell you something, we're in trouble.
Well, if I were a parent and I was paying for the tuition, they would be out of that school.
Yeah.
Me too. Yes.
Well, your kid would get a degree regardless then. You know, your kid can't fail. If I were a parent, I'd be like, okay.
Yes, but what are they going to do with that C degree?
Well, people at Berkeley get C degrees too, but people at Berkeley and San Francisco State and all these other places, like, they also have the chance to fail. Like, if you know that you're going to get a D or an F in a class, you freak out and you scramble and you try your best to get that C because you don't want to pay for that again. You don't want to take that all over again and go through that struggle. And you're not going to learn anything from that struggle, from that failure, if it's not even an option.
Right. So, Joan, this goes to the whole thing about cheating and being a good sport.
It absolutely does. And I think that people who need to win so bad are going to take that elsewhere. And we're into really dangerous territory here. I mean, kids can grow up to be cheaters and bullies and narcissists and dangerously aggressive. And nothing is, you know, it's all about them. To me, when you cheat, it's all about you. And that is not going to build a better world. And it is not going to build young people who have good self-esteem, because even though the outside might look like they're doing fine, on the inside, they know that they haven't done it. And they're going to need to keep proving themselves, I think, more desperately through their lives.
Well, and you hear about college students also. They have safe zones and they don't want any microaggressions and nobody controversial can come to speak on the campus because at least one or two people will be offended. And I just think that's a shame.
Yeah, I do too. And we can't, I don't know all the answers to try to limit that, to try to yank back what, you know, the way that we grew up in terms of what it really means to be part of a team, to be part of an organization, to be a person that you can trust. I think all that we can do with kids is to keep talking to them about it. And I would like to say, next time I go to a doctor, I think, who's somewhat young, I'm going to say, listen, where'd you go to school? And, you know, did you cheat on your test? Because I'm not sure I want you to be my surgeon.
Yes, if you're the surgeon, you don't have a C degree, do you? Please, dear Lord.
Exactly.
Yeah, my God, that's scary.
The pilot of my airplane, you know, tell me what your grades were. And you didn't go to Oberlin, did you? I'm sorry.
Well, Amanda, you guys had the fight over at San Francisco State about the Trump debate, right? Wasn't it at San Francisco
State? What do we not fight about at San Francisco State?
I know, I know. But I, if somebody wants to come in and debate, will you listen to the other side?
I will, personally, but there is a large community at San Francisco State that is very liberal and very upset about things, and no, they would not even stand to hear what Donald Trump has to say. They wouldn't even stand to hear what the owner of BB, Mr. Mashouf, had to say about his building.
Right, right. But don't you want to have a verbal slugfest about the topic and the subject? I mean, that's how you create a mindset that, you know, because
I do, but so many people are, you know, the ignorance is on both sides. Unfortunately, like many of them will not admit that, but they just see like, oh, we want this free open world and we're trying to set it up for us so well. And you have to hear the debate.
You have to hear the other side.
And you have to know how to respond to
that. Yes. And Joan, I'm sure you would agree, the only, because I find myself, look, I'm not a Donald Trump supporter. I don't care for any of my choices. But yet I listen to what he says because the man could be the next president.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I absolutely agree.
So I want to understand.
And if we want to have a seat at the table, you know, we don't want to sit there by ourselves. No. And one of the things that we need to learn how to do is to have conversations with people that we really don't agree with. I mean, it's, you know, we need to bring some kids from the debate society in who have, you know, they really know how to do it. A lot of people on TV don't know how to do it. And to listen to that and to make a difference. But I agree with you. We have to hear all the different options. And we have to do it in a way to keep our cool because anger is so prevalent. I mean, we are living in these days of rage. And I think that's another thing that we really need to get into and need to help kids get a hold of is what coping strategies are you going to have to keep your anger in check?
Joan Bauer, thank you very much. She has won numerous awards for 12 novels for younger readers. And her latest novel is called Soar. S-O-A-R, and you can buy it wherever you buy your books. Joan Bauer, thank you very much. By the way, it's joanbauer.com is her website. I appreciate you chatting with us.
Thanks, Jess. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Have a good night. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back. We're going to talk about David Letterman. He spoke again today. That's twice in 2 weeks. How'd that happen? And we'll have some fun with carpool karaoke coming up on the Drex Radio Show. But first, with a look at traffic, it's Lee Graham.
You're listening to the Drex Radio Show. Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Oh, awesome. Brian, my producer, just knocked himself out with his headphones.
I have a concussion.
As you can tell your wife, I just got really pissed off and just roundhoused you. Yeah.
She won't be happy with that.
Unlike Bieber, I got the hit in there. Yeah.
You know, my in-laws are coming to town, so they're going to appreciate it too. Yeah.
Oh.
They're flying in tonight.
And where are they staying?
Should be interesting. They have a hotel.
Thank God. Just, oh, my God. You live in an apartment downtown, right?
No, I live in Oakland.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah.
But
yeah.
We have an apartment.
Right.
And it's not big enough for four people and a dog.
No. And then the in-laws. Yeah.
Especially the in-laws. That close quarters for like a week.
Are they conservatives?
No.
Oh, okay. Not. All right. Because that can get ugly.
It sure can.
I've got to watch that when I go home.
I have an uncle who's pretty conservative, and we had dinner, and he was just bringing up politics, and I just kind of had a smile on my face, like, okay.
No, don't bring that stuff up at dinner. Don't bring it up on Father's Day. Four more days until. All right, let's have some fun here. David Letterman speaks, but first I want to play for you the Red Hot Chili Peppers do carpool karaoke with James Corden.
Can't stop addicted to the shit.
I I just stop it for a second? Do you realize how talented James Corden is? I mean, he's singing right with him.
Oh, and he knows
he's
the...
He's hanging right with him.
He's ready with the lyrics.
Yeah. Waiting for, I don't ever want to feel like I did that day. Take me to the place I love. Take me all the way. Tell the world that I'm falling from the sky. Dark necessities are part of my design.
That's great. And so when they did the show, Flea and Anthony, they sang this weird song that they wrote when they were 15 and stoned.
We were 15 years old, sleeping on a rock out in the woods.
Yeah.
Smoking large quantities of marijuana,
okay.
Hiking through the Sierra Nevada mountain range, and we wrote Himi Limi.
Himi Limi, up, shut, da, da, dum, horn, door, digga, shada, na, hoody, lodi, hoody, lodi, bob, and boom,
stimple, flippin', blick, snort, gorgle, snort,
all of a certain sort, hoody, lodi, hoody, lodi, bob, and boom.
Are you sure it was just marijuana?
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's the Humboldt County dank, if ever there was. And then James Corden sings Food, Glorious Food, from Oliver. Let's hear
this. Coming from a space to teach you what the plan is. Can't stop the spirits when they need you. This life is more than just a read-through. Food, glorious food. Hot sausage and mustard. I'm in the mood. So jelly and custard, peas turning and salad. What next is the question? Rock, scream, people, indigestion.
I never ever thought that we would finish a Red Hot Chili Pepper song and we would go straight into the musical Oliver.
Either did I. Anthony Kiedis and Flea are a lot of fun. So while they were filming this, they pulled the car over and actually mowed someone's front lawn.
There's a lawn right there. Let's wrestle.
Naked
men. I'll wrestle you anytime you want, and I'll destroy you.
Oh, I want to wrestle.
Pull it over.
Oh, they're wrestling. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know whose house this is.
That's all right.
You're going to want to stay low, trust me.
Anthony won.
Sounds like a really fun carpool karaoke. Usually they're just singing some songs and then you're on with it.
Well, Nick Jonas did an interview where he talked about carpool karaoke with James Corden.
You know, because they're recording sound, they can't have the AC on. And at that point in the year, which was like a month and a half ago, it's really hot in L.A. And I'm just sweating in the car. But the other part of it is that it is one of the most fun shows I've done ever. It's great to see people you admire, that you like their music, whatever, up there kind of making a fool of themselves, having fun. He says before you start shooting, too, he's like, don't try to sing, like, you know, funny. He's like, really go for it.
Really go for it. Do you think Colbert's nervous yet?
I would be.
I would be. First of all, a couple things. Nick did his with Demi Lovato, and we'll play that later. But there's no green screen. The car is real. It's not on a trailer. James is really driving. Of course, he's not doing 70 or anything. It's part of a convoy. The show has two cars ahead of it and three behind him, and they don't let any cars around them for safety reasons. Nick said they record the sound directly from the car, but there are tiny cameras the size of your knuckles stuck on the windshield. Well, they're GoPros, I'm sure. Let me see. They film for about an hour and edit them down. Usually they're left with about 15 minutes of good stuff. But when Adele did it, she was having so much fun. She stayed in the car for more than 2 hours, and they ended up with 54 minutes of great footage. That's still the... And the classic cut is 15 minutes long.
That's like an entire show.
Yeah. All right. And then I leave you with one other late night thing, and that is David Letterman, who's going to be appearing Sunday night on NBC with Tom Brokaw on assignment. And can't wait for this interview. If you're a big David Letterman fan like I am, there was some audio released last week, and this week they released some more.
I couldn't care less about late night television. I'm happy for the guys, men and women. There should be more women. And I don't know why they didn't give my show to a woman. That would have been fine. You know, I'm happy for their success, and they're doing things I couldn't do, so that's great.
Did they ask you about who should replace you?
No. Oh, no. Yeah. No, they didn't ask me about anything. They were just, happy I was going.
and you know who we can talk about with that is Maureen Langan. She'll
definitely have an opinion about that.
Yes, and I can't wait for the show, which is coming up again on Sunday night. All right, we're going to take a break, and we're going to talk about Dad coming up here next, so don't go away. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO8.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.